Support for this Public Radio Tulsa podcast is provided by Chamber Music Tulsa, who brings the world of chamber music to Tulsa in live and streaming performances and educational outreaches. For more information, visit chambermusictulsa.org. By 1810, Ludwig von Beethoven had attained an enduring position at the center of musical life in Vienna. He achieved this in part on the basis of a groundbreaking string of innovative works stretching back nearly a decade, but also due to a political connection that brought him some much-needed financial support. In gratitude, Beethoven dedicated several works to his political benefactor, including his last completed piano trio, a piece that nearly ended his musical career altogether. It's Beethoven's Archduke Trio, Opus 97 in 10 minutes or less. I'm Jason Heilman. As late as 1808, Ludwig von Beethoven's financial situation in Vienna looked precarious, and he was often forced to rely on the generosity of his friends just to have a place to live and compose. That same year, Beethoven had been rejected for a prominent position as director of the Royal Court Theater, and he was entertaining an offer to leave Vienna and become Kapellmeister to the court of Jerome Bonaparte, brother of Napoleon, in the German city of Kassel. When news of that offer somehow managed to get out, a group of Viennese noblemen made him a lucrative counteroffer. They offered Beethoven an annuity for life if he would agree to remain in Vienna forever. At the center of that group of Viennese noblemen was one of Beethoven's most important students and patrons, Archduke Rudolf, the youngest brother of the reigning Austrian Emperor Franz. Rudolf was something of a black sheep in the Habsburg family. Too frail to join the military, he ultimately became a priest in the Catholic Church and eventually an archbishop and a cardinal. Taking after his uncle, the Emperor Joseph II, Archduke Rudolf was musically inclined and ended up taking piano and composition lessons from Beethoven for more than 20 years, starting when Rudolf was only 15 years old. Beethoven was famously difficult as a teacher, and he often disparaged or neglected his students, but he had enough sense to restrain himself in front of the little brother of the emperor. And over time, Beethoven's imperial connection paid off handsomely. For his part, Beethoven repaid Archduke Rudolf's generosity by dedicating no less than 24 works to him over the years. And since Rudolf was a fine pianist in his own right, these often included some of Beethoven's most challenging keyboard parts. In gratitude for his role in arranging the annuity in 1809, Beethoven dedicated his fifth and grandest piano concerto to the 21-year-old Archduke, though an ambitious publisher later promoted the title to Emperor. With his financial troubles mostly taken care of, Beethoven embarked upon the most productive period of his entire life. One of the most important works from this period was another tribute to his student and benefactor, Archduke Rudolf, a monumental trio for violin, cello, and piano in the key of B-flat major that has since come to be known as the Archduke. The nickname was particularly apt for what was, at the time, Beethoven's most ambitious chamber work, as the piece has a particularly grand and regal air that establishes itself right from the outset of the first movement. This music segues through a veritable cascade of notes into a contrasting second theme that starts off light and staccato before becoming broad and expansive in its own way. All this gets repeated in its entirety before the themes are broken up into their constituent motives to be developed in what was, for Beethoven, a remarkably leisurely way. Even the recapitulation of the main themes at the end of the movement is remarkable. The melodies just kind of sneak back in, and by the time you get the expected triumphant return, the movement is over. Conceiving of his Archduke trio in symphonic dimensions, Beethoven cast it in four movements, which meant he had room for one of his favorite musical forms, the scherzo. But the scherzo Beethoven gives us as his second movement isn't the biting sarcastic joke we've come to expect from him. At first, it's almost as gentle as a minuet. This being Beethoven, the music does get more intense as the movement goes on, but it gets broken up at the midpoint by an undulating central episode that seems to take a minute to get going, but when it does, it makes the movement even more intense. Of course, Beethoven is playing a joke of his own in this scherzo, which you'll hear when it sounds like the whole movement is going to start again for a third time, only to end abruptly. The Andante Cantabile third movement begins with one of Beethoven's most poignant and noble melodies, which serves as the theme for a series of alternatingly vigorous and serene variations. After the final variation fades away, Beethoven does a very quick modulation and sends us directly into the finale, which announces itself with a brisk and boisterous melody. Although Beethoven eventually segues into contrasting music, this melody keeps coming back over and over to give this charming movement a sense of unity as it builds to its breakneck coda. You may even hear snippets of the previous movements along the way if you listen closely. But as cheerful as it is, this movement actually has a bittersweet connotation, as it represented the last music Ludwig von Beethoven would ever perform in public. In spite of the fact that he was nearly totally deaf, Beethoven insisted on playing the piano part at the public premiere of the Archduke Trio at a Viennese hotel salon in April of 1814. The concert was by all accounts a disaster, and Beethoven's embarrassment over his performance prompted him to give up his career as a pianist on the spot. For a time, Beethoven also stopped composing, and he may have even thought that his musical life was finished. Little did he know that some of his greatest works were still to come. That was Ludwig von Beethoven's Archduke Trio, Opus 97 in 10 minutes or less. For Public Radio Tulsa's Classical Tulsa, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.